So we're starting our Christmas season. That messed me up. Is that where it's supposed to be? Okay, I'm gonna have to scoot it a little bit more because I'm gonna have to rearrange myself. So I just want to say good job. Timothy does all of our graphics, and if you notice, who's welcoming you home for Christmas here? All right, it's Jesus. How many of you know he really is the prodigal son father, that when we go away, he's always saying, hey, it's time to come back home, amen? When we find ourselves drifting. But I'm excited about this series, Home for the Holidays, because I want to talk about how to establish and make sure that you're home, that you do Christmas well. How many of you know you can do it bad, and then you can do it well? And so today, this message is really how to have a Jesus-focused Christmas. How do you have a Christmas that's really, because how many of you recognize that every time this season comes around, everything is vying for your attention, all right? Oh, do this, do that. I mean, anybody ever feel like December is just crazy, all right? And it is. And if you're not careful, you're going to get to the other side of Christmas and you're going to realize, man, I missed what it was all about. I missed what the whole purpose was, because you don't have to raise your hand, although half the people did in the first service. Have you ever gotten to the end of a Christmas season and said, I'm glad that's over with? I still see some hands, right? Because it's like, oh my gosh, it's like maybe I can get life back to normal. But here's the reality. If we get to the end of our Christmas season and we're like, I'm glad that's over with, then that's a good indicator that something has gotten our attention off of what the main reason is. Amen? Because Jesus came, he really is. I mean, it could be gift giving, right? Anybody ever like, oh no, I got to get this gift and I got to get that. Oh no, I don't know if they're going to like the gift. And we can kind of get overwhelmed with buying gifts. Anybody ever feel that? I read that the average woman spends about 20 hours looking for gift. And I'm sure some of you guys have already passed that up. The average man, I couldn't find a statistic for it, so I'm guessing 20 to 25 minutes on Amazon. How many of you say amen? I'm just going to confess, my wife actually kind of put it out there that, you know, Christmas really, I mean, I'm glad to be married because I don't know what our tree would look like. I mean, Charlie Brown, maybe, Christmas tree. But when my kids were younger, I'm the kind of dad that I was a little bit surprised at what my kids opened up as well. Like, oh, wow, you got the, and then they come up and they're like, thanks, Dad. I'm like, sure. I'm just, I mean, I knew the big ones right there, but it was like, I'm just saying I'm thankful for my wife, okay? I'm just telling you that. But here's the thing, family, anybody think family can be stressful? Or do you happen to have the stress-free family? All right, now, anybody ever have drama at your family? Like, oh my gosh, you know? Like, how many of you know everybody's got that crazy uncle, am I right? Right, or it may not be an uncle, cousin, sibling, whatever. If you don't know who that is in your family, guess what? Randy's raising his hand. He's the crazy uncle in his family. But even with dealing with family, how many of you know, especially if you're the one doing the cooking, or at least most of it, it's like, oh man, this person doesn't like this, and this person doesn't like that, but they want this, and they want that. Again, I am so thankful for my wife. Amen. I don't know if you realize this is actually a thankful for my wife series, right? No, I'm just kidding. How about Christmas photos? Anybody love getting those Christmas photos? Especially the bigger your family gets. I got a few examples here. Anybody have your kids or grandkids remember those moments? Terrified of Santa. It's like, rightfully so. But you know what? It's amazing that you can Photoshop a smile on their face. Here's another one. This kid's terrified. This guy didn't even know what to do. He's like, somebody come take this kid off my lap, right? Let's see here. I think I got it. Yeah, this one's just running away in terror. Forget. You don't even have a beard. How can you be Santa, right? I saw this one. I think it's a setup, but how many of you would say that kind of represents my family sometimes, right? Just for the picture. 3 seconds is all I'm asking for. This one, I don't even know what's going on. I don't know if that's a smile of fear. As that dog's right there, I'm just like, they're just laughing about it. He's probably like, oh, Jesus, I give you my life right now. So All right, I think I got one more here. Okay, this one right here, they're all holding Christmas balls and a star. I guarantee this was his wife's idea, all right? Because no man is like, let's take a Christmas photo and let's be a Christmas tree. And this one has me questioning because Santa Claus has got a black eye. I just want to see if you're taking your kid to the Santa Mall or whatever, the mall, that, and he has a black eye, how many of you guys are going to turn around and go the other way?
They pay money for that.
They pay money for that. Exactly. It's like something is there. Anyway, Christmas photos can be fun. But they can also be stressful, am I right? Usually, whenever all our whole family is here, we'll be after everyone leaves, and we're going to try to get a photo. I don't know. It seems like a half an hour to get one photo, but that's how it is. Christmas parties. Here's my point. If you're not careful, then you're going to run through the holiday season, and like I said, you're going to miss the real reason. You're going to miss the whole purpose, that it really is all about Jesus. It really is all about him. And so I want to start this message today in a verse that you wouldn't normally think I would start for a series during Christmas, but it's out of the book of Numbers, because Numbers is in the Old Testament and was written about 1,600 years before the birth of Christ. That's a long time. And what was going on is that Israel was going towards the promised land. They went through the land of Moab, and there was an evil king there that actually hired a prophet to curse Israel. Like, I don't want them going through my yard anymore. Can you just curse them? And the prophet was Balaam, and he says, listen, I can only speak whatever God tells me to speak. That's all. I'm not going to curse him. If God says bless him, I'm going to bless him. If he says it's okay to curse it, then I'll do it. But he said, I'm going to obey God. And this is the prophecy that he gave 1,600 years. He goes, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. And he says, a star will come out of Jacob, which is Israel, and a scepter will rise out of Israel. So this is a prophetic picture of a coming Messiah, a ruler. And the prophet is saying, listen, there's going to be a baby born out of Jacob, out of Israel one day, and he's going to change all of humanity. Everything is going to change. And if you'll, it's not happening yet, but there is going to be a time. So I want you to understand the true star of Christmas is Jesus, right? It's not your family. It's not Santa with a black eye. It's not the gifts as much as we love that. It's not even the songs that we sing. It really is. He is the only center because, listen, in the scriptures, there's different people, different opinions, around 300 prophecies or so about a coming Messiah. Some of them are very precise. Some of them are a little bit vague, but still it points to a coming Messiah that is coming. And Jesus is the one that came and changed all of humanity. Amen. He changed everything. So I want to challenge you and pursue you to shift your focus from the chaos of Christmas. Amen. Let's just reject the chaos and let's focus on the real reason for Christmas. Amen. Let's make sure that is. So I'm going to give you today three ways on how to shift your focus so that you can have a Jesus-focused Christmas. Number one is just learning to wait for his arrival. You know, back in the Old Testament, they were waiting for a Messiah. 1,600 years from that prophecy, they were waiting and they were believing that it would come. And we call that season waiting for his arrival, Advent. How many of you have heard of that? A lot of people don't understand what that is, but Advent is simply a season of waiting. When you're in a season of waiting, you don't know how long it's going to last. Right? It could be a week, it could be a month, it could be 1,600 years. I mean, we won't be alone. We'll be in heaven by that time. But here's the thing. It was so funny going up to Washington. We were in the stores and we saw all kinds of crazy Advent calendars. How many of you guys got one of those? Anyone? I have found that those Advent, people don't have any idea what Advent is anymore. They're like, they commercialized it. I don't remember what restaurant we went into, but it had like a beer Advent calendar. And I'm like, what? So I got back and I'm preparing this message and I just put in Advent calendars to see what would pop up. There's some weird ones out there. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to show you just three of them. There was the Keurig 24 Cups of Cheer Advent calendar. I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure that drinking coffee is close to heaven, but it doesn't talk about Jesus. All right? I don't think that, oh man, this, you know, vanilla, whatever, just makes me think of Jesus, right? No, it's not anything. Here's another one. Ulta, anybody, I don't know, some of you ladies go there. 25 hidden surprises. That's their Advent calendar. Open it up and you get mascara or whatever. I don't even know what they sell at that store. I know there's makeup and other stuff, right? And just in case some of your kids are around, there was a Lilo and Stitch Advent calendar. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like I said, I don't know what's in all of those, but I guarantee none of those calendars have anything to do with waiting for Jesus to show up. The world, it's like, oh, they have treated Advent simply as a countdown and a prize bucket. Right? Oh, we're counting it down. We're counting only 12 more days till Christmas. Let's all sing it. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to. How would that really work with prophecy? How would that work out if it was just a countdown? Let's say 1600 years ago, a star is coming and it's like, okay, the prophecy, we got 25 more days until it actually comes to fulfillment. It didn't happen that way. The prophet is saying, yes, God is going to show up, but there is going to be a waiting season for it to happen. I mean, hundreds of years later, Isaiah the prophet prophesied about the coming Messiah, Jesus. But guess what? That was still 800 more years to go. All right, that was still another 800 years. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, prophesied about a coming Messiah. But guess what? It was still another 400 years. And then after Malachi, there was 400 years of silence. Like no prophecies are happening. And people are wondering. And Israel is crying out, oh, come, oh, come. Who knows? Emmanuel. Right? They were calling for the Messiah. They were hanging on to these prophets, but they were waiting and waiting in anticipation. So my question for you today is, how are you doing in your waiting season? When the time that you get a promise from God until the fulfillment happens, how many of you know there is a waiting time that we have to wait for? Amen. And we don't always wait well, right? Listen, if you have kids or grandkids, how many of you know it's important to teach them to wait? It's important to teach because they can't wait for nothing. Am I right? I mean, that's probably because as parents, we can't hardly wait for anything, right? But we need to teach them that. And we are in a waiting time. We're not waiting for his first coming. But how many of you know there's prophecies of him coming again, right? And now we are waiting in this season for his second coming in anticipation. The very last book and the very last chapter in the Bible, guess what Jesus tells them? He says, behold, I am coming soon. That's his promise of another return. Amen. And we hang on to that. Look what he goes on to say. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book. He say, listen, I'm coming again and you're going to be blessed if you stay on track, if you keep your eye on me, right? If you keep me at the center. And then check it out. Just a few verses later, that was verse 7, down at verse 12 and 13, he says it again. How many of you know if he's saying it twice, he means it, right? I mean, he means it if he says it once, but he says, behold, I am coming soon. And then I love this, that this is a little bit different. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Amen? Amen? So he's coming again. Amen. After hearing it twice, I'm not done with Revelation. He jumps down to verse 17, and this is the response. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride. How many of you know who the bride is? The bride of Christ is his church, right? He says, what do we say? We say, come. Lord, you're coming. That's just simply, Lord, come, Jesus. We want you. We're waiting for your arrival. And it says, let him who has ears. And we're not just talking about these little ears right here. How many of you know we're talking about spiritual ears? There are a lot of people that are spiritually deaf to the Spirit of God. They can't hear him. As a matter of fact, the book of Revelations starts out the letters to the churches says, let him who have ears hear what the Spirit is saying. And so I want to tell you today, if you're not hearing, it's like maybe you need to get your ears tuned to him. Amen. It says, come, let he who hears come. And then he says, I love this. I'm going to touch this on this later on. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, let him come and take the free gift of the water of life. Amen. That's us waiting for that second coming. But I want to say this as well, and when it comes to waiting, how many of you know, you, many of you here are waiting for God to show up in your life for certain situations. And like I said, we don't do good in waiting. We're just not. That's why there's this thing called road rage. Because I can't wait. I got to get ahead. We got cut off a couple of times coming back down from Washington. And it's like, what? So that you could get like 30 seconds ahead of me? Like, what is going on? And I'll confess, there was a time I was that person. But as I've gotten older, I've gotten a little more chill, right? But here's the thing. We don't like waiting. We don't like waiting in the gas line at Costco. How many of you guys like been there? Right? There's like 800 cars in this line for Costco. When am I going to get? Okay, maybe that might be a slight exaggeration. It feels that way, doesn't it? Or going through a drive-thru, you're like, oh my gosh, there's 5 cars ahead of me. This is going to take me 20 minutes. I don't know. Starbucks, but Dutch, how many of you go, you don't mind that line because you're going to wait there, right? Those of you that are addicts on that. The fact is we don't like waiting, but we are all waiting on something. Maybe you're waiting for a breakthrough in something in your life. There's something that you just felt God. Maybe there's a relationship that needs healing. Somebody in your family that needs to come to the Lord. Maybe you just need a touch in your body. A miracle in your body. Listen, we're all waiting. And what I want you to understand in that waiting, it's actually a good thing to wait on the Lord. Amen? It's a good thing. One way that you have a Jesus-focused Christmas is that you actually, instead of rejecting the waiting season, you embrace that, because what's going on is God is doing a work in the waiting. There is no waiting that is ever wasted. Amen? It's like, oh, God, why don't... Here's the thing. If God gave you a promise and fulfilled it immediately, you know what he would create? A bunch of spoiled brats, right? God is not just trying to answer your need. He's trying to develop you for eternity. Amen? That's more important than just getting your immediate, oh, God, I need this. Oh, I got. God is not the great big Santa Claus in the sky. Amen? God is one that loves you. He's developing you. He's growing you for something greater. And when we get frustrated in those seasons, when those times happen, and I know I've been frustrated in it. Maybe you're frustrated right now. I want to give you a verse that many people know, but it's very familiar. Isaiah 40, verse 30 and 31. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. How many of you know it's not a matter of age? Even young people can faint and get tired. And the young men shall utterly fall. But I love this. Those who, let's all say it, wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. And so it's in those waiting season that God is building us up. And I know that is contrary to what we think the world would say. It's like, no, just give it to me and give it to me now. No, we've got to learn to wait. When we don't wait, guess what we're doing? We run ahead of God. Nobody's ever been guilty of that, have you? Kind of jump the gun. It's like, all right, God, I'll wait. Oh, God, I'm tired of waiting. I'll take care of it myself. All right, that's kind of what Abraham and Sarah did, didn't they? They jumped the gun and caused a mess. That's why Ishmael came about, and then there's been fighting ever since. Why couldn't you have just waited? It is a great quality for somebody that hears a promise of God and learns how to wait for his fulfillment, because God is building this thing called hope in us. I want you to look at this. This is out of the New King James, the NIV. I want you to notice the difference in the word. Those that wait on the Lord, look what it says right here. Those who hope in the Lord. And that word can be used either way, waiting or hoping. And when I put my hope in him, that's how God is putting my strength. But that's only found through waiting. It's not, you don't develop that by getting everything you want every time you want it. It's just not the reality. That doesn't happen that way. And what I want you to understand is this hope that God gives us, he says this, it will not lead to disappointment. Can I ask you this question? Anybody ever hope for something and then got disappointed? My hand's up here. And it's because of how we understand the word hope. The way we use the word hope today is simply wish. I wish this could happen. Sure wish I get that. I got disappointed many Christmases growing up because I wished for this or that or the other thing and I didn't get it. But hope is a different thing. When our hope is in God and when God has developed that kind of hope, you don't lead to disappointment. But it says, for God knows how, for we know how dearly God loves us because he gave us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. And so I want a kind of hope that the world can't offer. I want to hope that despite what goes on inside this world, that I will not end up in disappointment. Sure, there's going to be things that happen that I don't want to happen, and vice versa. But I will not be disappointed in life because my hope is in him. So here's the fill-in. You will not develop hope until you learn to wait on him. Yeah. Amen? It is good to embrace the waiting season. And what I have found out is that if you can't wait, it means that you're the one that rushes ahead of God. And guess what happens? When you rush ahead of God, you learn the lessons the wrong way. You learn what not to do. Anybody ever been there before? It's like, oh, you know what? If you're the one that rushes ahead, you're teaching a lot of people behind you. Like, it's like the first person that runs out into a minefield. Think about it. It's like, oh, man, do you see that guy get blown up over there? I'm not going over that direction. Right? And then, boom, somebody gets blown up over there. It's like, hey, listen, why don't all of you guys go ahead of me? I'm just going to wait on the Lord. And then after everything, then, okay, now I know where to go. Right? I want to wait on God. I don't want to jump ahead of the Lord because it always ends up bad. How many of you can testify? It always ends up bad. Here's the fill-in. The only thing worse than waiting on God is wishing you had. Think about it. It's like you got to the other end. You're like, oh, God, I know I should have waited. I knew I should have waited for your timing. And listen, God's timing is always just right. I've heard this and I've said this a few times. I didn't come up with it. But God is never late in meeting those promises. But he has missed a few opportunities to be early. Yes. Amen. Yes. But that's okay. He's not going to be early because he's going to be right on time. Amen. He is worth waiting. And we need to teach our kids. We need to teach our grandchildren that. We need to, maybe you need to teach your parents that. Amen. We learn this. It's most of us today, we don't understand delayed gratification, do we? Get the credit card. You can get it right now. Rack up all of the debt. Listen, we've got to learn to wait. That's a good quality to have. And this Christmas, listen, we need to shift our focus and just make a direction. Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm putting my trust in you. I just want to do this for a moment. Can I have everybody just close your eyes? And if there's something that you've been stressing out about, I want you just to tell the Lord this, not me. Say, God, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Lord, help me in the waiting, and I'm going to trust you while I wait. And make that a confession. Amen. You can open your eyes. Just make that a confession. Lord, I'm going to learn to wait on you. If you find yourself stressing out because things aren't happening at your speed, it's okay. There's probably a reason for that. Amen? So how do I have a Jesus-focused Christmas? First of all, like I said, waiting on him. Secondly, we need to celebrate his birth. If you're going to have a Christ-centered Christmas, you've got to learn to actually celebrate him. Like, we waited, but how many of you know the celebration happens on Christmas? Now, let me just say, Jesus was not born on December 25th. I think most of you guys know that. That just happens to be, and I'm not going to get into all the things. That's a day that we choose to celebrate it. But listen, there's nothing wrong with celebrating it every day. Amen. Doesn't mean you're going to get presents every day. You know, young people are like, oh, I got an idea here. So, no. Listen, when Jesus showed up, Israel was no longer saying, oh, come, Emmanuel. Guess what? He was here. God showed up. His presence was here in the form of Jesus. And let me just say, parents, grandparents, don't miss the opportunity to show how Jesus actually showed up. And my kids can testify. Listen, it's been a tradition, but we've always wanted to make Christmas not about the presents, even though we do have presents. We have the most incredible Christmas breakfast ever, and my wife only makes it once a year. And so we all look forward to that breakfast, and but before anything, we always open up the scripture. We read Luke chapter 2. We tell the Christmas story. I mean, you can read out of Matthew 1 and 2. You can read out of Luke chapter 1 and 2. You can read the whole thing. But we usually just start in Luke chapter 2. And I know when my kids were younger, there were several years that they would act it out. It was great. But we always made sure that that was the focus. And then after the story, we didn't just like, okay, now it's time for the presents. No, we would always sing one or two worship songs. It's like, this is about Jesus. Yes, we're going to get to the gifts, but we're going to make sure that Christ is welcome, that Christ is the center of it. And we've done that for, I don't know, you guys are mid-30s. We've been doing that a long time, and we still do it. And our grandkids now are experiencing the same thing because we want to celebrate Jesus. We want to celebrate the birth and not the presents. Amen? Or the breakfast, which is really good, but Jesus is more important. Amen? And so you can tell personal stories of how Jesus showed up. Maybe God did something in your life that this past year, you're like, oh man, we were in this situation and God just showed up. Listen, that's the same kind of celebration. Amen. How many of you know Jesus still shows up into our lives? Even this morning, he shows up. God is still changing lives. I mean, the testimony I shared from Paul, he was going to get baptized, but he got to go talk to his brother. And guess what? A life was changed. A life was changed. God still heals marriages. Jesus still brings prodigals home. Amen. How many of you are believing for family member to come back to him? Amen. Let's keep praying that because he still shows up. He delivers the addict still. Amen. Anybody here ever struggled with substance of some sort? Thank God for his deliverance. Amen? Amen? Here's the thing. This Christmas season, celebrating it, the most significant moment in history is the incarnation. I know that's an interesting word, but it simply is when God became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? That is what Christmas is all about. God didn't just stay up in heaven and look down on us and say, wow, they are really messed up. Aren't you thankful? He said, I'm going to come down there, I'm going to intervene, and I'm going to pay for their sin. Amen? And so he showed up. John chapter 1, verse 1, I love this verse. In the beginning was the Word, and we know the Word represents Jesus, and the Word was with God, and guess what? The Word was God. So if you run into people that have different view, they're like, well, he was a God. No, he was God. 100%. Here's the thing, and it's hard to wrap your mind around. He wasn't like half man and half God, right? How many of you know that's kind of Greek mythology there, like half horse and half human? No, he was 100% God, and he was 100% man. And that's why he could actually go to the cross and pay for our sin. And so he became, look what it goes on down to verse 14. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Jesus is the center. To ultimately, he gave his life. Look what the prophecy said to Mary out of Matthew 1. The virgin will be with child and she will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel. Why? Which means God with us. Aren't you glad God is with us? Aren't you glad that we can, even coming into a worship thing, we're not just singing song, that the presence of the Lord shows up. God is with us. Yes, he ascended up into heaven, but how many of you know his spirit resides in us, and God still shows up. He is still God with us. Whenever he went up, he says, listen, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter. And that is his spirit that dwells with us. So listen, I don't know if you can bring the camera over here. I should have said something, but we got this lovely manger scene. And thanks to a family in the church that donated it. But how many of you guys got one of these at your house? Right. Yeah, this one's an incredible one. Actually, this is the best one I've ever seen. And but always at the center of the whole thing is who?
Jesus,
right? He's right here in the center, and he's a little baby right there, and that's how Christmas ought to be. Jesus has got to be the center. Here's the problem, though, sometimes, is that maybe we think, oh, no, I'm the center. Oh, wow. We're like, oh, no, this is about me. How many of you know some people have an incredible knack of making everything about them? All right, and it's like, no, it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not even about, I don't know, maybe you got family that are coming along. Family can take the center stage if you're not careful. I don't know. Let's see here. I got my camel here. Sometimes your pet might be there. No, I'm just kidding. Can I just poke a little fun here? If you've done this, I'm sorry. But if you send me a Christmas card with your pet on it, I don't want to see your pet. We want to see you, okay? That's what's more important. But here's the thing. Jesus has got to be the center the whole time, right? I mean, he should be the center of our life, but it's like we want to make sure that it's not that person, it's not this. How many of you know sometimes Christmas, especially if you've lost somebody in your life this year or maybe the last few years, how many of you know that can overwhelm Christmas because you're so focused on who's not here? And I know that that is a grievous time. That's a hard time. But I want to tell you that even in your grief, I want you to hear me because maybe you're struggling with that. I want to encourage you, still make Jesus the center. Doesn't mean you forget the people that have gone on, but you just still. Here's the thing. When Jesus is the focus, how many of you know peace is the result? Amen. And so if you're struggling and you don't have peace, and maybe you are in a season of grief or whatever it is, if you will just make sure that Jesus is the center, he does that not just at Christmas time, he does it year round. Amen. Right. If you're feeling that whatever's going on, Lord, I got to put you back at the center. And that's just a matter of if you want peace, you can't let all the other stuff push Jesus out. Oh, my schedule. Oh, my this. Oh, my that. I got this going on. Make sure he's a priority. How many of you are thankful that God is still with us? Amen. God is still with us. Amen. And he promised to be. What did he say? He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. We need to hang on to that. Last one that I want to talk about of having a Jesus-focused Christmas is simply following his example. All right? That's what it simply means. That's what Christianity is. It's not just, oh, I believe in God. How many of you know a lot of people believe in God? That doesn't make you a Christian. We are actually called to follow after him. So if I break this down, you got the Advent. We're waiting. We're waiting for God. The God shows up. And now from this point forward, I live my life for him. Amen. I'm following after him. I choose to model my life. Because when Jesus came, how many of you know it's a cute little story? Jesus in the manger, a baby in the manger, angels show up, wise men show up. But that's not the whole reason right there. And that's why we have a little manger over here on the ground, because we don't forget the baby, do we? But we might forget the cross, because that's ultimately why he came. And I like the way the lighting there. You can see the cross on the background, because the cross always overshadows the cradle. Amen? So how does that affect me? What does that mean for me going forward this holiday season? It means that instead of fighting and grumbling when you get around family and friends, how about if you show up and you serve them the way Jesus served us? Amen? Because I don't know, I mean, we experienced our first Thanksgiving outside of our house. We were up in Washington with my son's family. And guess what? They didn't do Thanksgiving the way we do Thanksgiving. They didn't make all the same food that we make at our house. And it's like, we could have been in there grumbling, well, you didn't make the gravy right, you know? And we don't do this at our house. And we, you know, people get in silly arguments. Like, anybody ever seen that before? Like, I don't care if they don't make, I don't care if they serve pork and beans at your Christmas dinner. You come in there with that doesn't sound disgusting. I don't know why that came to my head. I'm not hungry for pork and beans. I'm sorry, but, nobody send me pork and beans. I'm just telling you. Unless, of course, there's cilantro in it. No, I'm kidding. So I'm getting off. So where am I? Show up with Thanksgiving. Amen. Show up with a heart of service. And it's like, you know, don't go in there critical. Like, well, we don't do it like this in my house, you know. All the way. If you would just do this. No, you go in there just as Jesus showed up to die and serve us. We show up at whatever function and die to ourselves and say, listen, I want to show Jesus to my family and friends. I want them to see Jesus in me. So how can I demonstrate Christ to a lost and dying world? Don't just celebrate Christmas, actually demonstrate it. Amen? Amen. I want to demonstrate. I want people to see Jesus in me. Amen. They don't need to see old Scott, all right? They've seen enough of that. They need to see it. That means I got to watch what I say, the words I use, the jokes I tell. Amen. I got one amen out of that. The jokes I tell or listen to, you know, the things that I do, my actions, the way that I actually treat other people. How many of you know all of that stuff matters, right? I got to think about my response and not just come off with some smart aleck remark to somebody. I got to represent Jesus. So this Christmas, like I said, in the same way Jesus showed up, I determined I'm going to bring that same presence with me. Amen. Amen. At the Christmas party at your work, how many of you know that's an opportunity to share Jesus, hanging out with your family. And listen, I'm just going to, here's what the verse, the word tells us. Those who say with their mouth that they live in God should actually live their lives as Jesus did. Amen. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, I couldn't tell by the way you live. I want to pray with you because I know we get frustrated. I mean, that's a reality. How many of you have been frustrated with your family or friends? All of us. Let's put our hands up. It's just a reality. But I want to tell you, I want to pray a prayer to kind of help you. I want to give you a verse first, and I want you to understand that God helps us even in those frustrating situations. Amen. Luke chapter 2, and you may have never thought of it this way. This is as Jesus was growing up, the child grew, became strong. He was full of wisdom. How many of you guys want wisdom? How many of you know it takes wisdom to say the right things around the right people? But this is the more important thing right here. And the grace of God was upon him. The grace of God. The grace of God. You know what that is? It's like, it's not grace. Oh, I'm going to pray grace over this meal. No, grace is the ability or the empowerment from the Holy Spirit to actually do the will of God. Amen. The reason you can obey God is because God's grace is on you. Amen. Does that make sense? And so when you're in those situations and somebody's pushing every single one of your buttons 20 times, can I tell you, excuse yourself, go to the bathroom and say, God, I need your grace at this moment. Amen. I'm just being real here. God, I need your grace at this moment because if not, old Scott's about to show up. Amen. And that's not going to represent Christ to anybody. And I promise you, when you call out to him and you just say, God, I need more of your grace, I want to tell you that he shows up. Amen. He gives you what you need when you ask for it. Amen. You might ask for the wisdom, but I mean, lean into the grace of God. Amen. I want to pray for you in that area, and then I want to close with another prayer. But if that's you and you're saying, I need grace because I got some family either coming or going, I just want to pray. Lord, I pray right now that you would help us to walk in more and more of your grace. Lord, we know that we can't do it in ourselves. We can't do it in our own ability. Lord God, there is a short fuse to the end of our own ability. But Lord God, there is unrelenting grace in you, Lord God. And so, Father, I pray for each one, Lord, as they have encountered work parties, work situation, wherever we go, Lord God, I ask for the grace of God to be heavy on each one here today. Lord, those that are watching online, let us walk in your empowerment and not in our empowerment. I want to pray another prayer here over your lives. I want to pray for those that maybe you're like, I haven't really made Jesus the center of my life. Or maybe you did at one time and you know you're not following after him. I want to go back to this verse right here that I shared earlier. Revelations 22:17 says, the Spirit and the bride say, come, let him who hears come. And then I love this, whoever is thirsty. Aren't you thirsty for more of him? When your life is dry and your life is feeling empty and pointless, he's saying, listen, whoever's thirsty, let him come. Whoever wishes, even if you're not at that point of thirst, you're like, I want that new life that he gives me. And he says, let him come and take, I love this, the free gift of the water of life. All it is, it's not like, ooh, I got to get all emotional. It's like, I just got to receive. I've got to accept what God has for me. And so I'm just going to have everybody, can I have you stand up? And just close your eyes right now. Listen, I want you to hear, remember what it says here, let him who hears say, come. And if you're here and you say, man, I don't really hear, but there's something that's pricking at my heart right now. Can I tell you that is the Holy Spirit right there. And if you're not following him and you're ready to make him the Lord of your life, with everybody head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, listen, Pastor, I want to make a fresh start, either fresh first time or a recommitment to him. Just raise your hand and you can put it down and say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God is so good. Lord, I thank you that you offer us this free gift. You didn't come just to be the cute story. But Lord, you came to pay the price of our sin, that we might have entrance into heaven. And so, Lord, even with those that have raised their hands, whether it's a first-time commitment or a recommitment, Lord, I thank you that you are the prodigal son's father. You're welcoming us back in. So can I have everybody just repeat this prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus that I might have eternal life. I give my life to you. I want to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Listen, yeah, can we give a hand clap? The Bible says everybody that has made that commitment, angels are rejoicing. So if you have not committed your life, or if you've not been water baptized, hey, listen, let us know and we will schedule another one. We do it just about anytime somebody wants to, if there's one or 50. So listen, you guys have a blessed day. Well, you know what? We're going to go ahead and do like a real quick, I know we're a few minutes late, but if you guys can hang out, I want to make this song like a prayer as we go out, Jesus as the center of our life. So if you got to go, I understand.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus.